Phoenix 98 FM. Here with Eat My Brunch from 10 through till 1. Now, I've not been joined in the studio by this gentleman for quite a while because he's very, very busy, and he's also just flown back from Rome. I wish I could say that, John. I really wish I could. Now, I'm joined in the studio by John Brandler, who owns the Brandler Gallery here on Copfold Road in Brentwood. As I said, he's just come back from Rome, and we're going to be talking about Banksy. You're also in a few of the very big papers today. Well, yeah. Brentwood Gazette is important, but you're also
in Brentwood Gazette's very important because it's local. Yeah. There's a nice write-up about the Banksy show that we were involved in Rome in today's Times newspaper.
Excellent.
And the picture by Pure Evil is in City AM today. So it's been a good day for me in the press.
So tell us a little bit about how long you've been based, if people don't know.
Well, I've been based in Brentwood for 35 years.
Wow.
Or the gallery's been... I've been based in Brentwood for 60 years, actually. But the gallery's been there for 35, 36 years.
And did you always... Were you always involved in art, or did you...
Yes, I started off in antique furniture. So I started by stripping all the chairs out of St. Paul's Cathedral. And then I gradually moved into fine art.
Yeah.
Well, art. I don't know if you call Banksy and Damien Hirst fine art, but fine... Anyway, art. And I've loved it. I haven't gone to work in 40 years. I'm not going to start now.
Yeah, you said that when you came in before. It's because it's such a joy to do the job that you do.
It's not a job. It's an occupation. Mm. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
And I meet yesterday on coming back from Rome, I was talking to a cabbie for the whole flight.
Yeah.
We know people in the House of Lords. We know the local dustman. I mean, we know people in all walks of life because the common denominator is the love of art.
Yeah, yeah. And now, Banksy, tell us about this exhibition, and because you've been,
we own 10 of the pieces that are on the show.
Oh, John.
Some of them are multiples. I mean, they're not all big money, you know, not everything by Banksy's telephone numbers and the mortgage.
Yeah.
Some of the pieces we've got started about £300.
Yep.
And they're in the show, so which is nice. Some of them are more than £300 that are in the show.
Yep.
But we've got some in the gallery. And, in fact, we've just yesterday arranged to do a secondary exhibition in Rome of pieces between 500 and 5,000 euros.
Yeah.
And because, obviously, the commercial gallery in Rome is going to pick up on the publicity from the non-commercial gallery in Rome.
Mm.
And one of my paintings was on the front page of one of the Italian newspapers last week.
Excellent.
And it's just a lovely, fun show because it's not being organised by Banksy.
Yeah.
In all the literature, they make it very clear, you know, Banksy's nothing to do with this show, which isn't quite accurate because when Banksy's people didn't want things done, some things weren't done.
Mm-hmm.
Because the show's been put on by a foundation that's 400 years old and they don't want any controversy.
Yeah.
If I'd been putting on the show, I'd have just said, oh, go away, or words to that effect.
Mm.
When people started interfering, I couldn't believe the bureaucracy in Italy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there's only two pieces of sculpture in the show. One of them's mine.
Yeah.
Arlo Banks has done numerous sculptures. And it's the biggest show ever of Banksy's work anywhere. I mean, there was a lot of talk about Dismaland.
Yeah.
But Dismaland was actually 99% other artists and three or four or five pieces by Banksy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was Banksy's idea.
Mm.
Fine. But it wasn't a show of Banksy.
Why did he not want to be involved, or why wasn't he involved in this?
Because he is very difficult to work with. He and his team are very difficult to work with.
Mm.
Not wishing to get lawyers involved on with
it. Is that because of the legend of who he is?
They control the legend.
Yeah.
You know, the team around him control the legend. And that's not always what other people want to convey.
Yeah.
So this show is about... It works... I think the earliest works in the show are about 1996, 1997.
Yeah.
Right the way through. And with all artists, very often, they do work. They move on, and they don't want to acknowledge their earlier work.
That's like with actors or singers. It's the same, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you said to Banksy, right, let's do a show today. You know, you organise it. Let's do a show of 100 pieces that you are proud of and you want to advertise or promote. It would be very different from what academia wants.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an academic show, very academic show. showing the complete range of what you do, not what necessarily what's fashionable today.
Yeah.
So, for instance, when Banksy first came to London, he was given space in a studio by EMI.
Yeah.
In exchange for designing some record covers.
Mm.
That part of his history is being airbrushed out of the books on Banksy because he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
In this show, I was going to put in the records that we've got. We out of the 50 record covers that he's done, we've probably got 35 of them.
Yeah.
But a client had actually got he's got 49 out of the 50. So it made sense to use the client's collection rather than mine.
Yeah.
So those are in the show. And it's great because it shows the progression of that section of his artwork.
Mm.
And until a few months ago, in fact, about 2 months ago, if you wanted to buy any of those, you were buying a Banksy record. You were buying a record with a cover by Banksy.
Yeah.
Now people have realised it's a limited edition by Banksy with a record inside.
Yeah.
So the price has gone from the top price for these record covers has gone from £300 to £4,000 plus.
Wow.
In about 3 months.
Yeah.
Because now you're buying a Banksy.
Yeah.
With a bit of plastic inside.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you were buying a record with a bit of artwork on the cover.
Yeah.
Different way of looking at it.
Mm.
So the show's done a lot of good in that way. Again, it's an area that Banksy wouldn't have put into a show himself.
Yeah.
And there's various other pieces in the show. I'm not suggesting everybody jumps on a plane from Stansted and goes to Rome just to look at the show. If you're going to Rome, look at the show.
Mm.
There's also going to be a show that I'm not involved in Amsterdam. Fairly soon, at the end of the month, in fact, it starts. I'll go over to it, but I'm not involved with it.
Mm.
But Banksy, what's nice with Banksy is he makes people smile.
Yeah.
The show in Rome is called War, Capitalism, Liberty, because Banksy didn't want Banksy to give the wrong impression that it was an official show from Banksy.
Mm.
And in fact, in the past, somebody wanted to do a Banksy retrospective. And Banksy's lawyers stopped them calling it a retrospective.
Mm.
Which is crazy, because when you think about it, the moment an artist has finished an artwork, it's a retrospective.
Yeah.
Because it's history.
What makes with artwork, John, what makes it? Because I've been to sort of galleries and, as you said, fine art, where you look and you... Because you've got that fine art where you think, that just looks as if I'm... you know, these painters are hundreds of years. I look like I'm looking at a real person, and you can see the skill. And then you go to the other end, where you might go to one of the more modern... Or you see the modern art, and you're thinking, there's a conveyor belt with some fruit on it. I don't understand. But it's all...
It's worse than that. I got a catalogue through from Sotheby's or Christie's in New York recently, and there were three paintings in it, and I just did not get it, because one was grey...
Yeah.
One shade of grey all over. As if a 3-year-old with a paint roller had done it.
Yeah.
One was black, same thing. And one was the size of a door, and it was yellowy green. And the grey and the black ones were only estimated at £40,000 each. And the greeny yellow door was estimated at £70,000. And, you know, a 3-year-old could do that with a paint roller.
Yeah.
So that's purely marketing.
Yes.
I think Jackson Pollock is rubbish. I think, there's a lot of artists I think are rubbish that are world famous. But the thing with Banksy, the thing that for me with Banksy is he makes people smile.
Yeah.
So the kids saluting the Tesco flag. I mean, there's a lot of politics involved with Banksy, and there are things about Banksy that I don't like. But some of his artwork does actually make you smile.
Yeah.
And that's why he will last. Irrespective of the politics involved, irrespective of the time element, because a lot of political cartoons that you see, you know, Maggie Thatcher hitting somebody with a handbag, right? It's funny on the day.
Yeah.
It's understandable a month later or a year later. But now, who could be bothered putting that on their wall?
Yes, yeah.
Kids saluting the Tesco flag will be laughed at in 100 years' time.
Mm.
You know, it isn't in the show, but there's a lovely one where Winnie the Pooh's got the honey pot.
Yep.
Right, but his foot's stuck in the honey pot and he can't get out of it.
Yep.
It makes people smile. You don't need to be, you don't need 3 bottles of scotch and an art degree to understand it.
Hmm.
In the show's the self-portrait from Time Out that he did, where he's standing in a guardsman's outfit. But because it's Banksy, you don't know who he is.
Mm.
Everybody, it's Banksy. he's got his face covered with a monkey mask.
Yes, yeah.
Now, that's witty. That's, that's, you know, this is a self-portrait, but you can't see me.
Yeah.
It's like a Magritte self-portrait. It's just a blank for the face.
Mm.
Same sort of thing. You don't need to, who need, you know, in 100 years' time, 200 years' time, if people have forgotten Banksy, they will still laugh at that because it's witty.
Mm.
There's an edge to it. So it's quite a good show. I mean, actually, it's a very good show. There's pieces in it I like, there's pieces in it I don't like. But that's a personal thing.
So you've always said about art as well, because you've got the gallery and people, you know, I know lots of people are making money on property at the moment, but if you haven't got...
Not as much as they were.
Well, it's probably going to... I think there'll be a little bit of a...
London price is already coming down, apparently.
Yeah. Southeast, I think it's keeping quite high in the Southeast.
It'll keep going... I mean, we're always about 18 months... On property, we're always 18 months, 2 years behind London.
Hmm.
It's the ripple effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So I think the moment prices are still going up, property, but at the same time... How long are they going to keep going up?
I don't think they can keep going up like that. I think it's going to burst. But I was saying about the people, if you've got a little bit of money, rather than put it into, you can buy art, and you don't, as you always say when you come in, you don't have to say, I want to buy something for 60,000. You can buy an up-and-coming artist that you will go through and say, and also, what do you always say about art to anybody that comes into the gallery?
You buy what you like.
That's it.
But you buy the best of its type, but you buy what you like.
Mm.
And I was this cabbie I was talking about. He hasn't paid more than £100 for a print and £1,000 for a painting, and he had 10 pieces in that show in Rome.
Wow, wow!
So he bought purely what he liked.
Yeah,
he bought when it was relatively pocket money to him. He bought pieces that, oh yeah, that's fun, I'll have that.
Yeah.
If somebody said to him, you know, buy this and in 10 years' time, any one of the pieces you've bought will be worth more than your house in Brentwood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a few bob.
Yes.
You know, it's not like he's living in one of the terraces in Liverpool that you can buy for £1 a house, you know.
Yeah.
He would have either thought the guy was mad or high on drugs.
Hmm. Hmm.
You know, the records have gone up phenomenally in 3 months.
Yeah.
I've got the charity coming to collect some today, and I'm thinking, oh, why did I give them those ones? but, you know, such is life.
Yeah.
I said they could have them, they can have them. But I hope that they raise a great deal of money. Mm. It's funny, you were talking about breast cancer... Cancer Research UK. These are going to breast cancer research.
Yes,
which is based at Epping.
Mm.
Lovely guy. What I like about there is the chief exec doesn't take a penny in charges. The charity itself doesn't take any money out in administration.
Wow.
Whereas a lot, because we supply a lot of artwork to a lot of charities.
Yeah.
But a lot of the charities, there's handling charges and office charges and you know it's.
Yeah.
It was in the papers about a few months ago that Band-Aid. 5% got to Africa.
Hmm.
The rest was accountants, banks, probably bribes to get it into Africa. You know, 5% of the money actually got to Africa.
Wow.
Ridiculous. So that's why I like working with the charities where it actually makes a difference. And Banksy has helped them.
Hmm.
I mean, the self-portrait poster has sold it for £6,000 at charity auctions.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You know. Something that costs me £200 or £300 in lost revenue.
Mm.
So I'm not giving them £6,000, but I'm facilitating them making £6,000.
Yeah.
But it's Banksy. They're not doing it to be nice to me. They're doing it to walk out of the door with a Banksy and to support the charity.
Yeah.
That's great. So Banksy's, you know, Banksy does do a lot for charity from time to time. He did a tea towel. And it's, instead of the usual tea towel, it's got the Union Jack on it, as you would expect, right? But the paint, the ink is dripping, as if it's got wet. So the instructions are only wash when dirty, dry clean only, then lower down on that little bit of material you always get on tea, you know, like, do not dry clean.
Yeah.
Hand wash only, do not hand wash. I mean, all this sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gave 150 of them to a children's charity in Western Supermare.
Mm.
with instructions that they weren't allowed to sell more than one per customer.
Yep.
That they weren't, that they had to take the phone numbers of the customers, all this sort of thing. And it raised a reasonable amount of money for the charity, and now everybody in the world is selling them out on.
Yeah.
But he just gave them to them. And said, if he had signed the letter that said, do this, they'd have been selling them for £1,000 each, and the charity would have made a lot more money.
Yeah.
But he wanted to keep it anonymous.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But yes, he puts back, he puts into the community himself.
Yeah.
He helps the secondary market put into the community. One of the prints we gave, breast the proper breast cancer, if you like, you know, the big one, in Grosvenor House, fetched £10,000.
Yeah.
At the time, it was worth about £1,000. So it was a combination of Banksy and breast cancer raising big money for charity. And that's nice. You know, so it's art isn't a standalone thing. It's part of the community. So it's nice when the art can help the bigger community, not just somebody saying, that's my Banksy, that's my Damien Hirst, that's my Tracy Emin.